Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Well, as I said to you all a bit earlier, we do have a special interview at this time, and we are focusing on the issue of pancreatic cancer. And there's a forum that's coming up in not too long from now to deal with this, specifically to address some of the concerns, some of the issues that need to be highlighted. And with us this morning, we do have Mrs. Natalie Sabga of the Sabga Foundation for Pancreatic Cancer. Good morning to you and welcome. And we also have Dr. Colin Weeks joining us as well to speak about these issues. Good morning to both of you and welcome to our program here this morning.
Morning.
Well, it's nice to have Dr. Colin. I think we'll begin with you until we have Mr. Sabga on the line. Pancreatic cancer, I'm sure that persons would have heard the term before. And maybe before we get into some of the symposium and some of the work of the foundation and everything else, let's set the stage for explaining to people what is pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, so pancreatic cancer is the cancer of the pancreas, and the pancreas is an organ that is responsible for really two major things. One is to control the insulin levels in your body and ultimately your blood sugar. And then secondly, it produces enzymes that help break down the food. And so in most patients who are, you know, otherwise healthy, you never think about your pancreas. But unfortunately, there's a, you know, there's a small portion of the population that does develop this disease, which is hallmarked by upper abdominal pain, can also be back pain, weight loss, fatigue, nausea, vomiting. And the symptoms are somewhat sort of nondescript, and so many patients will be misdiagnosed with other things prior to being finally diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Is there a relation between pancreatic cancer and diabetes?
Yeah, so that's been studied over time. It sort of, if you look at the studies, it sort of wanes and waxes whether there's a true relationship. But what I would say is that diabetes causes an inflammatory state that results in the pancreas cells sort of rapidly turning over and making new cells, which then puts the cells at risk of sending damaged DNA into daughter cells. And that then puts you at risk of developing cancer.
Let's deal with some of the signs and symptoms of pancreatic cancer that the average individual who's not necessarily aware would have to look for.
Yeah, so thank you. So that's, you know, that's really quite, it's a problem. So patients generally have upper abdominal pain that can be sort of nondescript. Sometimes the pain is described as boring through their abdomen, going into their back. They may commonly have back pain, like between their scapula, and weight loss is also a pretty common scenario in patients who are ultimately diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Nausea and vomiting can be part of the process as well, and really sort of a lack of energy and a lack of appetite.
Someone who is concerned and may have some of the symptoms that you're expressing here, what is the test? How does one test oneself? You'd have to go in, I'm sure, to medical professionals. But what is the test that is carried out to determine whether you have pancreatic cancer or not?
Yeah, so sometimes patients may sort of turn yellow for no apparent reason. That's called jaundice, and that's due to the pancreas blocking the bile duct, which drains the liver. So that sometimes that's a presenting symptom. And in that case, patients would generally have some sort of imaging, CT scan or MRI, to see if there's, you know, something going on in the liver, which is usually the standard sort of first test that a physician would do to ask that question. And then there are additional tests we're called endoscopic ultrasound, where the doctor places a tube into the esophagus, and then it has an ultrasound probe on the end of it in which they can measure whether there's a cancer in the pancreas.
Mrs. Sabga, good morning to you and welcome to our program. It's nice to have you with us here this morning.
Thank you, Satish.
I'd like to know, and I'm sure the people would like to know more about the SABGA Foundation for Pancreatic Cancer. Let's start off by telling people, when did the Foundation for Pancreatic Cancer start? Why was it, how did it come about?
Well, my husband passed away after a 9-month battle in 2016. He passed in January 2017. And, you know, we had the insurance to get us the best treatment available abroad. We started off in Miami. We went to Houston. We went to Dallas. We ended up in Arizona. And there was nothing that could be done. You know, everybody tried. But I realized that this cancer was so lethal and deadly. And I was so devastated when I lost my husband, you know, so quickly. And he was really a great human being. Everybody knew John. And I just thought, you know, I could not let my husband's death go in vain. And I have to do something to raise money and to raise awareness, and money for research, by the way, and to raise awareness and education for this disease in Trinidad and Tobago. Because as Dr. Weeks just said, the signs sometimes can be very vague. And, you know, when I look back, I realize that he probably had some of those very signs that we just thought, well, you know, you have a backache, I pushed something, I hurt my back, and you know, it became my mission to try and bring hope to our future generation. So, Satish, if you look at breast cancer 25 years ago and where it is today, you know, women can get breast cancer and survive 10, 15, 20, 30 years. But with pancreatic cancer, we're not there. And, you know, we have to step up and start bringing awareness and start getting more people on board, more advocates for the disease, and help doctors with their research so that our future generations, our kids, our grandkids, when, you know, God forbid, should get something like this, or anybody we know, they would have some sort of hope, you know, a different approach that can be done. Right now, it's limited.
Yeah. Some time ago, we had a series of discussions with a number of medical professionals. I think it was for Cancer Awareness Month. And one of the things that they all lamented is that there are several different types of cancers, but there is there is a lot of focus on breast cancer. When you speak of cancer, that's the one that people usually focus on because of the attention, because of the programs around it and everything else. And there are these others that need the attention because they affect people and they're not necessarily getting them. I'm assuming that the SABGA Foundation has been doing a lot of work in raising the awareness. How prevalent is pancreatic cancer here at home?
Well, I really can't give you accurate statistics. However, based on the calls that come into the foundation and the people we've been managed to support and help over the last 5 years, it's starting to rise, and I'm seeing a lot more pancreatic cancer cases in Trinidad and Tobago. So I recently also had a conversation with Dr. Cavi Capodeo, and he also told me, he's our premier oncologist in Trinidad, that he's seeing a rise. Now, this is also on the rise globally, as Dr. Weeks will tell you, due to our lifestyle changes and so forth. So sadly, it is alarmingly high.
Mm. Now, Dr. Weeks, what are some of those lifestyle habits that can contribute to pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, so really, you know, just obesity is, you know, really the major thing. So, you know, sedentary lifestyle, not eating well, lack of exercise, things that put you at risk for diabetes, hypertension. Smoking is another cause of pancreatic cancer, and also alcohol use. So, you know, I think as Natalie said, the healthier lifestyles that we live, the decreased chance of developing this disease. To your question about the incidence and prevalence of this disease. So unfortunately, I will just tell you the statistics in the United States is that by 2030, pancreatic cancer is projected to be the second leading cause of cancer death in the United States. And so on average, there's, in the United States, there's average about 60,000 patients who are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in a year. And about, unfortunately, 55,000 patients will die of pancreatic cancer in a given year. And so it is a disease in which we need to do better, to understand how to treat these patients and give them a better chance for a better outcome. And that's really what we're working hard to do these days.
And what are some of the treatments that are available at this point in time?
Yeah, so the primary curative treatment for pancreas cancer is surgery. Unfortunately, most patients who present with pancreas cancer present with either locally advanced disease, which means it's not surgically resectable, or they have metastatic disease, which means that it has spread to other parts of the body, the liver, lungs, and sometimes the intra-abdominal cavity. So chemotherapy is a mainstay of the treatment for this disease. I think the unique thing about chemotherapy these days is that we're now able to target different mutations that we know about in pancreatic cancer. So I'm looking forward to the development of these, what are called RAS, R-A-S inhibitors, because that will be important for patients with pancreatic cancer, in that almost 95% of patients or more have this mutation in the RAS gene, which basically drives the growth of pancreatic cancer. And so if we can inhibit that gene's function, that will really be quite useful for our patients. And then I think the second part of that answer would be is, you know, we're learning how the immune system works to treat, to eradicate cancer. And particularly with pancreatic cancer, that's been a challenge, but we're learning more and more about how the immune system regulates pancreatic cancer. And so harnessing those observations will also be, I believe, very useful in the future for this disease.
Mm. And what about advancements, trials about the various treatments, the clinical trials, I think is what they call. What about clinical trials, and is Trinidad and Tobago involved in any of these?
Yeah, so clinical trials, that's what I do for a living, is clinical trials, and that's where we're testing new drugs and new strategies about how to treat the disease. And some of the things I mentioned a few minutes ago about RAS and immunotherapy, those are going to be sort of important insights. So there are a number of clinical trials that are ongoing throughout the country and the world regarding pancreatic cancer. I think one of the challenging things, and why I, when Natalie asked me to come speak, why I said yes, is that I believe that in the Caribbean we can do better in terms of increasing access to clinical trials for patients, and I think that's an important endeavor which Natalie is trying to lead for individuals in the Caribbean. And you know, so my hope is that someday the care that patients receive for cancer will be the same as what they receive in the United States, and they will hopefully have access to clinical trials just as patients in the United States do.
Yeah. Mrs. Habgo, what about treatment options here at home? What's available? You gave us your personal experience and how you had to travel to several different parts of the U.S. and everything else, and did not necessarily work out the way that one would have liked it to. What's available to persons here at home who are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in terms of treatment options?
Well, Satish, once a person gets diagnosed, they either go to a private oncologist or they register in our public health system. I mean, there are two main treatments. I'm not a doctor, but I could become a doctor with all that I know now. There are two basic treatments. And one is FOLFIRINOX, and the other one is gemcitabine with different drugs. These are the things that we have available. We don't really have in Trinidad the advanced treatments like the targeted therapy, immunotherapies, and tumor testing and gene testing and all of these sorts of things. We are still a little behind with all of these things. The unfortunate thing is that, you know, as doctors said, most people present when it's too late. So it's normally in stage 3 or 4. And it's kind of difficult also when people are being treated in the public health system. I would say to them, they need to be big and bold and advocate for themselves, because urgency is important with pancreatic cancer. And as you know, we have setbacks in our public health system. So you really have to push for yourself, because the delays sometimes, you know, presents more problems and challenges. But we are hoping that we can, as doctor said, get Trinidad to the point where we have advanced, and this is why we educate our doctors in Trinidad. The foundation brings, you know, Dr. Weeks is an esteemed Harvard medical doctor from Massachusetts General. He's a son of our soil, by the way. And his knowledge is what we hope to impart on our doctors here today with the symposium. And I hope they take away his knowledge and, you know, they can better treat patients. So, you know, hopefully get to the point where we can get better outcomes. But it's challenging in the Caribbean, Southeast. It's challenging.
Yeah, I can just imagine regular healthcare is a challenge across the board. Much less for this specialized care. For those of you, if you'd like to join the conversation, feel free to do so on 627-3223, 625-2257. I think we have a call before I get into some more questions about the foundation and some of the things that you're involved in. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I had an uncle who died of pancreatic cancer in 2020. And one of the problems he encountered, and I don't know if you all can address it, it's not related to pancreatic cancer, but it's the issue of insurance. Now, he had insurance in his 50s. And when he became 70 years old, he was told that the policy expired. And 1 year later, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So the insurance company did not want to... they were not obligated to cover his medical expenses. Now, I find that to be sort of a kind of a scam, because when you are older is when you really need the medical insurance. Can you, in some sort of way, lobby the government to make insurance companies extend people's insurance when they really need it, maybe as long as they pay? Because, you know, I can understand the risk and it's a numbers game, but I think it's unfair to the policyholder that when they really need medical insurance in their later years, that insurance companies, you know, they come up with a term and they say that the policy has matured. So I listen off.
I think we get the gist of what it is he's saying. Would you like to make a comment?
Well, I mean, that's a good comment for us to make, because we're not involved in insurance and we're neither able to lobby the government, because I think government doesn't really have much to do with insurance.
Yeah, I think the caller...
But this happens to a lot of people. It happens to a lot of people.
I understand the point that he's trying to prove, but insurance is a very specific field, and they have their set guidelines as to why they do things the way that they do. And quite frankly, if your policy expires at an age, you're supposed to be paid your lump sum and whatever else you're supposed to get after that. And the intention is, the expectation is now that you have these funds available to you, you'd be able to treat with whatever confronts you. And there's life expectancy, and insurance is a whole big thing that we're not necessarily here to talk about this morning. The foundation, the SAVGA Foundation for Pancreatic Cancer, what are some of the events that you're involved in for the year? What does your calendar look like?
Well, we're now starting this year, right, Satish? So today we have a symposium. We have 6 visiting doctors from the United States. And on Saturday night, we're having a gala event. And both of these functions will bring awareness about pancreatic cancer and education. Today's event will be mostly targeted to medical professionals, our medical students at UV, and people who are interested in learning about pancreatic cancer because they've had families that have been affected. Saturday's event will target more a different crowd, which will be people in our, you know, financial sectors and and personal donors who have contributed to the foundation. And our purpose really, besides educating our doctors, we do support people in Trinidad and Tobago who have pancreatic cancer. We advocate for them, as I told you, with the challenges in the public health system. You know, last November, we had an oncology luncheon for the nurses, all the oncology nurses in Trinidad and Tobago. We brought 20 nurses from Tobago as well, because it's important for us to recognize that they're dealing daily with people that are, you know, suffering, and they need to be celebrated as well. You know, we do events like we did a walk in November, because November is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. We do a session on our Facebook page whereby we have a psychologist, and we talk about different things. Every month it's a different topic. Sometimes it's on grief, sometimes it's on, you know, dealing with the disease. So we try to do a lot of educating, and we always, you know, we're always there to support people. Sometimes they need little medical, you know, needs, financial support, not big financial support, because that's not what we're about. But, you know, ambulatory care, they need to do COVID tests, but they have to be related to a patient with pancreatic cancer. So basically, I think our mission is to bring more focus and awareness on the disease. As doctor said, there's more need for focus on this disease, and we think we're managing to see some, a lot of people, you know, they never heard about pancreatic cancer, but through the work of the foundation, more and more people are starting to understand, you know, and look out for the signs, the symptoms, and so hopefully, you know, little by little, we'll get there. We also aim to raise money for research, because research will get us to better treatment options and to support the work of Dr. Weeks and his clinical trials, because those are the things that are going to bring hope for our future generations.
We've been speaking a lot about everything associated with it. And one of the things you spoke about is support for persons who've been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. What kind of support do they need, and are they getting it?
So, Satish, a lot of times people, you know, unfortunately, they don't have a large family and they don't have the support. And the support that they need sometimes is trying to understand, you know, the dynamics of the disease. So because I've been through this, and I went through, you know, 9 months of chasing hope with my husband all over the United States, you know, and meeting people who were diagnosed with the disease, I got a broader perspective on, you know, things that you look out for with diet and the nutrition during treatment, because a lot of them lose weight, as doctor said. So that's one of the signs. But during treatment, they also need to keep their weight up. So, you know, like nutritional drinks. So these are the things that they're not, you know, they're not aware of. And we also advocate for them. So sometimes I would get somebody that will call into the foundation and, you know, they're waiting for an appointment and they get delayed in the public health system. So, you know, I go in and try to rectify little issues like that to help them out. And basically you'd be surprised. Most of the time they just want to talk, you know, and to understand, because we have a system in Trinidad that people, you know, go to the doctor and they just kind of rely on what the doc tells them. And so they don't really ask too many questions. Sometimes I go with them to appointments, you know, and when the doctor says, you have anything to ask, and they say no. And then I say, well, no, I have something to ask. Because I know what to ask. So it's about educating them, supporting them emotionally, supporting them mentally, and sometimes just going to visit, take a little something for them. You know, that kind of stuff is what the support is about.
Yeah. When we had our series of discussions on cancer, all of the guests that we had spoke to us of the benefits of that type of emotional and psychological support at a time when people get this devastating news that they are diagnosed, that they're suffering with cancer. And for many people, they see that as a death sentence. We know that for some it does not have to be, because there are advancements in medical procedures and treatments and so on that give people a ray of hope now that you have the ability to beat this thing. Dr. Weeks, tell us about, because we're coming close to the end of the interview, but what are the chances of someone defeating pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, so overall, the chances of defeating pancreatic cancer really depends upon the stage in which the cancer is diagnosed. So for those patients who are diagnosed with an early stage disease, stage one or stage two, which means the tumor is resectable, the chances of beating the disease are relatively, relatively high. It's when the disease goes into stage three and stage four where it becomes much more challenging. And so, as I said before, I think the advances that we're making, understanding the biology and the genetics of pancreas cancer, and our ability to harness those understandings as well as harness the immune system, will help us to do a better job for our patients going forward. So it still remains a very challenging disease, and the chances of beating the cancer or being cured is relatively small for if you take all patients that are diagnosed with the disease. But as I said, I think through the efforts of individuals like Natalie, and as awareness becomes more public, we will be able to make advances in care that will help patients and improve outcomes.
Yeah. Final question to you. What can we do, what can persons do to prevent this cancer? To wrap up.
Yeah, so prevention really has to do with leading a healthy lifestyle. There are some patients who have families that are at risk, and so knowing that information and going through screening programs. But screening is challenging for pancreas cancer, but at the end of the day, the most important thing that you can do to prevent this disease is to live healthy.
Mm. And Mrs. Sabga, as we wrap up, on behalf of the foundation, to persons listening in to us who may be concerned that they have the symptoms, to persons who've been diagnosed with cancer, to the family members of persons who have been diagnosed and are treating with it, and they want to reach out to the foundation for assistance, how do they do so?
Satish, we have a Facebook page. It's called the John Sabga Foundation for Pancreatic Cancer. It's also on Instagram. And all the information are on those pages. So they can reach out to us via Facebook or Instagram. And we get back to them right away. And, you know, if they need, you know, like support and guidance, then we can take care of them and head them in the right direction. So just if they go on Facebook or Instagram, all the information is there.
Okay. And finally, a little bit about the symposium again. Today.
Symposium today is at the Hyatt. It starts at 1 o'clock. We have six doctors, all amazing and leaders in the field of pancreatic cancer. Dr. Colin Weeks, whom you has on the interview today, he's at Massachusetts General and he's a pancreatic surgeon, but he's also a researcher. But we have Dr. Douglas Evans from University of Wisconsin. Dr. Susan Tsai is also from the University of Wisconsin. They are both leaders in pancreatic surgery as well. We have Dr. Wayne Fredericks, also a son of our soil. He's the president of Howard University. But Wayne is also specialized in pancreatic surgery. We have Dr. Peter Hussein from the University of Miami. Peter's oncologist, rising star in the pancreatic field as well. And we have Dr. Jordan Winter. And Dr. Jordan Winter is from the University of Cleveland Hospitals. Another great researcher and oncologist and surgeon in this field. So they're all leaders in the United States right now. And I think it's going to be an amazing event. And people will walk away from there, you know, much, much more learned from before. You know, they will get a lot of information on the latest therapies, the advancements, and you know, I think it's going to be a great event.
Yeah, and we wish you all the best. This is where we draw the curtains on our interview, Mrs. Sabga and Dr. Weeks. Thank both of you for being with us here this morning, and we wish you all the best on your event later this afternoon. And I'm sure as we go along, we'll have further discussions on this issue of pancreatic cancer and what needs to be done, what people need to do, and what they need to be aware of. Thank both of you again for being with us here this morning.
Thank you, Satish.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.